Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I am joined in the studio with Gunners Tan, Charlie East, and Sherlock Holmes himself. Chris Howard has made it back into the studio. I'm sure he was spending his time away on a very important case that he has now cracked. One case he cannot crack is Arsenal's form, because it is terrible, to say the least. It is 2 wins in 10. The players aren't looking the same. The calls for the manager to go are growing ever stronger day by day. Someone in our own very important Gunners Town, our own very own Arsenal Fan Show, a friend, I would say, very dear to me, Charlie East, as he sits opposite me, just like the wind, may have turned, because where he has backed the manager, maybe it is time. He has had some thoughts, he's had a little reflection, and I will be pulling him on that, because someone, as I know, would have backed the manager to the end, maybe... just maybe he has seen enough. Before we get into that, we're going to be talking all about the game on tonight's show. Obviously, that disappointing 2-0 defeat to Leicester. Talking about the manager, the future is very uncertain at the minute. Talking about the current form and Arsenal, how are they looking heading into this international break, without stating the obvious? Let's talk about just the performance at the minute. Leicester on the weekend, we went there with such belief. Charlie, he'd had a couple of drinks. His belief was getting stronger by the beer. It just wasn't to be, Chris, because 2-0, Aubameyang did score. It could have been different. It was offside. Charlie said, just before as we started, he said, we played all right. I don't think we did. I was really disappointed, Chris. What did you think of it?
So, I partially agree with Charlie. I thought
we had a game plan.
Yeah.
But we had a game plan for a while.
He went for 3 at the back. He clearly decided he was going to test run that in Europe in midweek.
Yeah,
it failed.
The personnel failed, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. And he set up... I think the thing that... where I agree with him is, I think the game plan that he set out seemed to work for certainly the first half and a little bit of the second half. Where it failed miserably is the way that we are setting up away from home against a team like Leicester. Now, Charlie will probably retort and say... Leicester are a good team. They are a good team. They are in form. But why are we sat here on Monday morning talking about plucky Arsenal going away to Leicester and setting up defensively and setting up with a lack of ambition?
Leicester are second in the league.
They're second in the league now.
No, but I'm being deadly serious. Okay, plucky. Leicester at the moment are the in-form team in the Premier League, bar Liverpool maybe. Okay, they've built a squad. They've been very good. They've won a title more recent than us. I'm not saying they're better than us or a better football club. I'm just saying Leicester at the moment are probably, bar Liverpool, the most difficult team probably to go away to at the moment. And that's the league table doesn't lie on that.
So you think that makes our performance acceptable?
It doesn't make our performance acceptable, but it makes us that we have to adjust to play against in a different way than if we're going to go and play Norwich away. We can't line up all attacking because we're going to get the runners behind us with Perez, Vardy, Maddison, Barnes. They're a good side. Their midfield three at the moment, for me, is the best in the league. It's better than Liverpool's. For me, Maddison and Didi Tillemans at the minute, on paper, for me.
And in form, yeah.
And
yes.
I think it's perfect. I think it's, all three of those would probably, well, they'd definitely start for us in midfield. They'd probably walk into the majority of every top six team, realistically. Maddison would, 100%, and so would Tillemans. Maybe not in DD, probably had Kante maybe in front of him, but as a holding midfielder, and his performance on Saturday, that is the player we are lacking. The way he played on Saturday, he was immense. And he's the sort of player that we've never replaced with a Gilberto or a Vieira. That has been our problem from day to day. It's probably, that was the decline of Wenger. He never replaced that player, that combative midfielder, leader, someone who grabbed the ball by a scruff of the neck. Fabregas done it in a way, but he didn't have the same physical presence, if you know what I mean.
Well, the decline of Wenger, it was Unai Emery's 50th league game on the weekend, and in Wenger's final 50 league games, Wenger got one more point than Unai Emery has managed in his first 50. When we appointed him, it was someone that said progressive style of football, aggressive style, you know, we knew the identity. At the minute, we're struggling with his identity. Dave Seager always mentions he doesn't know the philosophy we're playing under Unai. The worrying thing, Chris, and I know we're going to cover the manager, Unai after the game said, when they scored the first goal, that was when we lost the opportunity to do something in a match. Now, why after going 1-0 down is the match lost then? That's surely, well, that worried me, him saying that after that.
It's not lost when you play Arsenal, because you can be two goals down and bring it back with Unai Emery's Arsenal. And we've done that. We did that twice in a game week before last against Liverpool. And again, to pick you up just on something quickly, Charlie, that you said a minute ago, you talked about we have to make adjustments.
Yeah, don't give him a smooth ride. You keep
picking
him up.
We have to make adjustments, but what adjustments were made? So we had to make adjustments for Leicester. Fine, game plan set out. When that first goal goes in from Jamie Vardy, what adjustments did the manager make to say, right, we're a goal down now, let's go for it? Because I think we had one shot in the second half, or yeah, certainly... I don't even think we had a shot after that he scored. So that is no adjusting for the situation.
He took
a manager
off and brought Pepe.
Yeah, what, with like what 15 minutes to go?
As soon as we were 1-0 down.
The team, the way the team was set up, the way that we actually then the game evolved, it didn't look like the players had any belief.
I totally agree.
I don't think
you.
He really. All right, he may have adjusted
that
personnel,
second half,
but
just
mentality
before
didn't
they
adjust.
Scored, we were getting our foot in the game. We was getting better and better.
We're
pushing up the field. Ozil was getting more on the ball. We looked like the team that was going to get the goal, and they caught us like that. Poor defending. We stood still again. Guendouzi, hold it. They all just stood still and let player run past him. Annoyed me.
Can I jump in on something, actually? Can we talk about Guendouzi for a second? Because he is believing his own hype at the moment. And quite frankly, I watched three times on Saturday a Leicester player out wide on either flank. And I think it's twice on the right and once on the left. And I watched Guendouzi. I fixated on him for some reason. Mm. And he is literally jogging back as Leicester players outrun him. And I'm thinking, you are a centre midfielder. You are sitting deep. You can't rely on someone like Torreira just to get all over the pitch. Guendouzi needs to front up here. And actually, the manager needs to front up and say, mate, unacceptable, you're out.
Yeah, I have to say, I agree with Chris. And strangely, I wasn't going to really talk about Guendouzi because I feel like he's very flavour of the month at the minute. Arsenal's almost like you can't question him because, you know, I know you certainly won't give any Arsenal player a pass, but it's like, oh, Guendouzi's, you know, he gets the crowd going.
I'm
not massively sold, especially on the hype at the minute, Guendouzi. I don't think he suits his system, but he's played alongside. Yeah,
that's,
I know.
The benefit of the doubt.
Still, the role that they want him to do and what we need, you know, that enforcer, someone in front of the back four, he's not the man. We thought the man was Torreira. Let's be honest about him as well. He hasn't looked the same since last season.
He looks pants. And I mean, I know people are going to... Everyone thought he was going to be the saviour. I tell you what, Lucas Torreira...
But where's it gone wrong, Charlie? Because last year...
I've got a theory on this. And again, it goes back to the manager, because he's playing
too many games. I think he's not used to that.
I think he's playing. He's being told by a manager, you've got to play effectively. You've got to push high. You've got to press high up the pitch. We want to see you in the opposition box a bit more. It's wrong. Lucas Torreira was at his best last season when he was sitting deeper in our final third, breaking up the play, and we saw the best of him. Now, if you're a footballer and your manager says, this is the role that I give you, you don't just sit back and refer back to a defensive midfielder, because your manager's going to say, you're hooked, son, because you're not doing my instructions, you're not doing what I'm telling you.
I feel like Torreira's not even doing the simple things, though, Charlie. Where has that come from?
I found on even Saturday,
regardless of your position,
his touch was always out. His second touch is always a tackle. His touch is poor. I don't know what he does in the dressing room. No matter where he plays, whether it's at home in the sunshine or if it's on a rainy pitch on Saturday, he can't stay on his feet. He slips. Whatever boots he's wearing, he needs to get something sorted with his boots. But I just think the last season he came in, there wasn't really much pressure at the time he came in. We eased him in, didn't we? He didn't play a lot of time. He came in, looked good for the last half hour. And what he did for me was that we was in quite a good, positive vein of form at the time when he came in.
Yeah, it was like 23 unbeaten,
exactly,
wasn't it?
So he
came
in and everyone thought, oh, this is it. We've got Lucas Torreira. It's the reason why he's the final piece of the jigsaw. We're 22 unbeaten. Then Holding got injured. it all collapsed. Socrates also done his ankle, went out for a few games. We had Mustafi come back in. We went back to a four at the back. Because we started off three at the back all season. Mm. Didn't we? We had three at the back. We had Holden on the left, a bit of a balance. Kolasinac left midfield. Monreal. So, I mean, we had a bit of a variety there. But then once that happened, that injury happened, and the season got on, we played more and more games. Torreira playing every game. It, by December, January, he was gone then. It's not just this season. End of last season, he was poor.
Yeah, but I think I would put down this season. I mean, you can say mitigating circumstances for last season, because he'd even admitted that he hadn't played as many games the previous season.
Yep.
You know, he's still at his first year in football. Fine. All right, you could potentially write off some form from last season. This season's form has been poor. And again, I don't want to labour the point, but to be honest with you, he's being asked to play the wrong position. And again, I look at the manager who keeps putting square pegs in round holes.
Yeah, let's talk about the circumstances then in the situation, because we're saying that Torreira's not looking great. Guendouzi, we're not completely sold on him.
I think you say midfield.
Yeah,
that's what I think the problem is.
Uber and Lacazette just looks disinterested. Yeah. You know, he doesn't look at the races. His attitude's not great. He doesn't look match fit. There's a few players. I watched Holding far too much on the weekend, because I know, Charlie, you put this seed of doubt in my mind that maybe he's not the great saviour that he's built up to be. And I watched him. I was really worried on Saturday. He wasn't, and it was another not great performance. I don't want to say poor, but it just wasn't the greatest. Is it because of the injury? Are these players not playing well because the team's not playing well? The situation, or is this the reason why?
I don't know. And I'll tell you one positive I want to come out of Saturday. And I've given a bit of stick on Match of Day for it. I liked David Luiz's role on Saturday. I liked him joining them, because where I was sitting, I was behind a goal, I was really high up.
Mm.
It's different than what you see on telly. It just is, because you see there the play pattern, the play goes. And I just liked the way he was coming in and then dropping in. He was very vocal, talking to people all the time, which looked to lead. And that goes to my idea as well, watching him again on Saturday. Aubameyang, he's not a captain. I don't know why on earth you've got him as a captain. Your captain should be a leader. He should be talking constantly. Aubameyang stays quiet. If the ball don't go away, he sort of looks away like that. Your captain, and David Luiz, for me, watching him on Saturday,
he's not an Arsenal captain. No, Charlie, he's come from Chelsea. We can't give him that.
I agree with that, but then who else is there, mate? Bellerin's not captain, mate.
I'd rather have, yeah, but I don't want,
I know,
David
he's
proper
Luiz, Arsenal, but I'm just thinking, I see the team line up on Saturday, and it was virtually what I said last Saturday. I was a little bit surprised Socrates got dropped.
I was going to say, were you surprised that it was Socrates and not Luiz to allow Holding to come back?
Yeah, I'm surprised Holding started altogether. But other than that, I thought that was going to be the starting lineup. I said that on the way up there. I've got a funny feeling he's going to play it for a bit. Because we see on Wednesday night, the way he set things up, I knew Tierney weren't going to start or weren't even going to play. Because the reason why that is as well, he's not, Steve Clarke's got the ump. Because they picked him to Scotland. And he said no. Arsenal said no, he's going on to do some rehab. So he was always...
And then they played him in Vitoria. Because that was the day of the squad.
For 90 minutes as well.
Yeah, that was a strange one. When we need to be playing him on the weekend.
But then, obviously, Kolasinac...
If he could have played one game, surely it's the Leicester game over the Vitoria, though, if he had 90 minutes in him in Wednesday.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense there.
I think Kolasinac, that three and two wing-backs, I think he's not a left-back, though. He can't play as a four. He can't. He gets away with it left-back, I think. And his physicality, he's got that about him, isn't he? And we haven't got many players. We set up realistically with Holding, Chambers, Luiz, Kolasinac, not so much Bellerin. It's quite a big side at the back, and we've not had that for a while. Do you know what I mean? So that's, we've not got Andy Maitland-Niles. So when I see the starting lineup, I thought, I like that, and we did keep it quiet. We had a couple of misplaced passes, but they had a couple of chances from. But we actually had a bit of a game plan. Lacazette should have scored in the first half, I think. The one where it cut back.
Yep.
The other one where Aubameyang was a bit unlucky with a cutback. He just couldn't get the ball under his feet.
Yeah, offside.
We had a couple of chances. And I thought, with second half, they hit the bar quite early on, didn't they?
Yeah, indeed.
I didn't see. I was still having a beer. But when I come up...
Selective fan, Charlie.
Yeah, I didn't see that. But I'll come up, obviously. But then when after the game, like, and one thing I have got to say on Saturday, the crowd... Arsenal end,
fantastic, excellent. You could hear it on the TV.
Yeah,
but not even we always are. But even, you know, like, people had the ump. None of that went to the pitch of the players. It was very positive. They got behind the players. There was no. I heard people saying about they were singing "Sacked" in the morning. I see none of that where I was sitting. None of it. So the Leicester fans were joking, singing about
They certainly were, and everyone could hear it. Well, the fans were getting behind the players. Are they getting behind the manager? Because next we're going to be talking about the manager, as it is growing, the concerns over his tenure at Arsenal. But what do you think? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us and you can have your say. Do you agree with us here in the studio? 0208 7020 558. We're talking the manager next.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Gunners Tan, Charlie East and Chris Howard. We were just talking about the disappointing result to Leicester 2-0 on the weekend. Brendan Rodgers and Leicester currently flying in the league. Arsenal wasn't able to go up there and get the 3 points. Leicester have the number at the minute, winning the last three up in Leicester. Now, though, of course, big questions were raised about the manager. Should he go? The future is very dark and uncertain at the minute. Arsenal, the board, apparently today released a statement. It was a public show of support for the manager, that dreaded public vote of confidence. After the win, Emery said, we need to stay calm, you know. And I talked about what he said after going 1-0 down. And also, I want to talk a little bit. There was an article released in The Athletic with David Ornstein saying that the club are going to stick with the manager. They aren't looking to get rid of him in the middle of the season. They're going to give him till the end of the season. Conflicting reports. Then we hear that Arsenal are already looking into Luis Enrique, who is a free agent. Don't know where we stand of it. I thought I knew where one man stood on it, and it was back Unai till the end of the season. Charlie East, I never thought he would be one to change his colours, but seemingly it is all lost, because after reflection, you're having your doubts, Charlie.
I haven't had my doubts.
Oh, here he goes. Get up those tweets, Chris. We've got them.
Yep.
Sherlock.
No, I'm just...
He's deleted him now. Yeah, he's got his phone out.
Why are you hesitant? You never lost for words.
No. I'm saying, no, I'm not backing up. Just following on from your thing you just said before about on Ornstein's thing today.
Who is apparently very well connected to the club.
Yep, he knows certain things. But
not as much as you, Chief.
Obviously not.
Come on.
No, I'm just saying.
AFC Charlie. Hold up. Put some respect on it.
Oh, making me blush, mate. Obviously, he also mentioned about how Arsenal, some people in the club are disappointed the way how Aubameyang and certain players are disappointed, and they want Arsenal to come away from the liking of the Arsenal fan TV stuff because they think it's a bit negative, and it's probably the which I do agree in a way that it was that probably the start of Wenger's real demise, where people turned him properly because of that.
Are you a fan of Arsenal?
No, I despise it and I hate everyone on it.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, well,
don't
say
on offence.
And hopefully they are listening and someone comes and sees me. But anyway, Aubameyang has put a thing up saying, I've just arrived in Gabon and heard of a lot of B.
Blankety blank, blankety. Right, what could that be, Chris?
Go on. I talk with who I want and wherever I want. And if somebody's not happy with, you already know, with a emoji that's not too nice. See, that's worrying. No, that's just more stuff that's going to be negative in the press.
There's something going on. We've known this for some time, but all is not well. These are troubled waters that we're sailing in at the moment at Arsenal. And I think that what are the options that we've got? The option number one is that you start binning off some players. Well, you know, by the sounds of it, Xhaka's on his way, and he's tried to ostracise Ozil already. It doesn't seem to have worked, and certainly the performances haven't helped, and the team hasn't galvanised. Option number two is you've got to make some sort of... There's got to be some sort of reboot, some sort of refresh job, some sort of shift F5 or something in the football club. And to me, the only option they've really got is to do that with the manager, whether that's right or wrong. If things aren't working, and they're not, you need to make decisions. And we were talking about this off air. I think Unai Emery is he'll be a lucky boy if he survives this international break, which I think he will, because the run of fixtures they've got: Southampton at home, Norwich away, Brighton at home, West Ham away. If he does not get a minimum of 10 points, possibly even 12 points, get rid of him, because that Christmas fixture it could be all done and dusted. It feels like it could practically be done and dusted mathematically. If, you know, if we lose to the worst team in the league, Southampton, cheerio.
When you say you feel that he's lucky to make this international break, do you really feel that, Chris? Because I do not believe, and I am not in the know at the slightest. I know we've got Charlie here, but I'm just saying, Arsenal are not a sacking club. I just don't. When you say lucky, I don't think that a change is imminent at all.
And we've had the statement today as
That's
well.
That's why I think he's lucky.
Right.
I think, he's basically going to survive this international break, and we will play probably some very poor football, but Southampton are a poor side, so we could beat Southampton. And all of a sudden, you know, the grumbles are still there, the discontent is still there, but maybe it goes away for a week. And then you play Norwich, and then if that same happens, the grumbles are there.
But surely as a football fan, you just want to win.
Of course I want to win.
But not
if,
you
he wins, if he wins
not,
eight
I'm not
or
saying,
ten.
I'm not saying you're a general, but I'm saying the feeling I got last week, there were a lot of Arsenal fans who wanted us to lose on Saturday.
Nonsense.
So in we go. Utter nonsense.
Terrible.
Idiots.
Yeah.
Okay?
I don't agree with it at all.
And
people, why would you want your football team to lose?
And it's like people are half wanting us to play bad so they can stick it into the manager. I'm not saying you, Chris. But there is, you know, there's lots of people out there like that. There are lots of people, no matter what, and even with Wenger last year, they couldn't wait for us to slip up. Hey, I told you. He's the wrong man for the job. Get him out. Unai Emery, I've said quite a long time ago, bar an catastrophic set of results, he ain't going to end the season.
But to be fair, we're on the verge of that. Imagine if we lose to Southampton.
No, I mean catastrophic going out the Europa League group stages. That is not going to happen, but that would be catastrophic.
Who wins in 10, though, Charlie? You know, because Chris said there, you know, potentially 10 points have to get 12. When it is 2 wins in 10... Are we going to get 12 points?
No,
are we going to go 4-4? Would it not surprise us? You know, Norwich can't buy a win at the minute. They get a point. Southampton come, turned up fresh from the international break, and they get a point. What is catastrophic?
At the moment, a change. Everyone keeps going. I'm getting all my mates texting me, and it really gets me down a little bit. And I know I said to you the other day about.
It's all right when you're doing it on fantasy, but it's another question. But carry on.
I don't want Emery out, but what I've got to the point is now, I can't see him turn it around.
No.
Not with the team, the fans. You know, I think that's gone now.
This is a big problem.
And that is a big problem. And once that happens, it comes toxic in the ground, and you get divisions, and you get people going out. And I see all these polls, 80% out of it. I can assure you, that's all people internet. I go Arsenal game, every game, home and away. Every game. There are people not happy, but the people who are not happy are not very screaming Emery to be out. Mm. They still go everywhere, they support the team, and there are some that do want him out, there are.
Mm. Well, let me ask you a question then, Chris, because Charlie said maybe the fans have lost, but then do the players know that maybe the fans are lost, and then they can't buy into Unai, so Unai can't turn it around, because we're saying Aubameyang, Lacazette, maybe they're liking posts on social media. Social media, a big cause for concern, obviously, around the club at the minute. If they're not buying in, how can Unai turn it around?
Do you know what? I kind of disagree with you. I think the fans would be turned around based on results. Right, let's put a scenario to you. We beat. I don't think this will happen. We beat Southampton at home.
Yeah.
We beat Norwich away.
It's gonna happen.
We beat Brighton at home.
It's gonna happen.
We beat West Ham away. Four points. We play Man City at home.
We've
got four wins. Hypothetically, we've got 4 wins on the bounce. And all right, maybe the football's been a bit tough. And then we play City. I don't know. We pick up a draw against them. Then we play Everton away. I'm not expecting this. But we play Everton away. Maybe we pick up a win there. We play Chelsea, we play Bournemouth away, maybe we pick up a win there. If we get to the beginning of January and he's picked up that many wins, I think the fans would start. Certainly the fans in the ground, the people that I sit around, I think people would turn, because football is about results. However, I do not see him picking up that many points, and that's why I think it's probably not recoverable.
Well, as it turned then, because obviously we're saying that Arsenal have to make this top four and it is about results, apparently Arsenal now have a chance, Charlie, of only 17% to make the top four. Now, if that's that is correct and we believe that, you never know how the rest of the season is going to play. 17%, less than a fifth to make that top four, that is very worrying, you know, turning on results. So maybe those fans have got a little bit of right to it. And like you yourself, you're now wondering.
No, but my tweets were on Saturday. I see two really good tweets from other people. And it's really think. I think it was Charles Watt done a tweet about how this time last year, Leicester were in disarray. They had Cool Puel as a manager. The fans had the ump. The players looked disinterested.
Mm.
And a year on, they're now sitting second in the Premier League. They've probably got the most exciting young football team in the country at the moment. And that's what I was saying earlier on. That was a very hard game we're going to. They made a bold decision of sacking Puel when they were 19th in the league.
So you want them to make a bold decision?
No. I'm just saying. But Brendan Rodgers was available. Okay? And they took a punt on him. He left.
He weren't available. They went and got him.
He wasn't
a free agent.
But what I'm saying is, he took the job. Okay? Hmm. Fair enough. People said that we should have got Brendan Rodgers. At the time, I didn't really want him. I don't know. I did. Now
I'm still not sold. I know that sounds absolutely ludicrous.
But now I'm looking at Arsenal now. Two reasons. Firstly, I don't think it's the Arsenal way of sacking the manager halfway through the season, which I'm quite proud of. I like that in a way. I know some people turn their nose up, and I like the traditions of a football club like that, and I agree with it. If we were relegation zone, I'd get it, but it's not catastrophic at the moment, okay? I know it's not great, but it's... And secondly, I don't think there's someone there ready to come in and replace Emery. There is not... I'll say to people...
Alan Kerbishley?
I've generally said this to people. Emery out. I'll say to them, okay, fair dude. What is your options from this? Oh, Mourinho. Oh, Arteta. Oh, we're going to get Allegri. Allegri can't speak English. I know Emery couldn't, and that's probably one of the problems. Well, you're going to get him in halfway through the season. Can't speak a word of English. Very clever that'd be.
What do you say about all the people? We spoke a little bit about it, and Chris wasn't here last week. A lot of calls seem to be growing for Freddie Ljungberg. I'm not crazy sold on this idea whatsoever.
I'm not sold at all. The guy's manager of Premier League football, men's football game in his life.
I do agree, Chris. Where do you stand on it all?
Barcelona went for Guardiola when he hadn't managed at the top level. He had managed the
mate, me
the
and you could
team.
Have managed Barcelona that year and we'd have won the league.
Okay.
So, I mean,
Tito Villanova and everyone as well was, at Barcelona.
Was, you saying about Barcelona though. Chris, we could manage Barcelona. You could put me as manager of Barcelona now, I guarantee I'll win the title. Okay? Luis Enrique, I've seen his name.
Love Sport exclusive, somewhere. Everyone.
Well, I've managed a very successful team on Saturday, so...
Hang about, on odds checker, you are now in the odds. You're climbing up, you are climbing
75
up.
Million to one.
Hey, worth a pound.
Mate, it was worth a pound. But I'll tell you what,
bet responsibly, by the way.
Luis Enrique's name's popped up this week.
I'm not sold on Enrique.
Same again. He had Messi, Neymar, Suarez as a front three. I could have won that season as well.
We've got Pepe,
we've got
to
remember this is the Arsenal fan channel, not the Charlie East.
No, but what I'm saying is, we are not Barcelona. That team, that squad, the group of players, they're not. So you can't just bring in someone on the off chance.
We're also not Leicester, Burnley, West Ham, teams like that. So why are we setting up so negatively against these teams? So, and to take your point against the Puyol decision, Leicester made a decision because things weren't working. Things aren't working.
But
like,
Chris,
it's not as catastrophic as where
Leicester
were 19,
was in a sad place, and all the chairman had just passed away. Okay, I'm not saying that's a big thing, but I was saying there was the whole club needed some sort of lift change.
Like we do
anyway.
Now
it's a different situation they was in. It's hard to.
It is our Chris. You mentioned, obviously, you're saying about Wenger, you know. It was the same when he was there. Do you not think the vibe, do you not get that at the minute?
No, I think it was a different scenario because what you had there is you had a build-up of apathy over many years. This has transferred itself very, very quickly. And it's not because of... I think it's because of the football primarily. I mean, if we'd have played some very good football...
No, but sorry, that's
Watford,
what I mean, because you said we're setting up defensively. When Wenger didn't do that, people were like, why don't he set up defensively? You're going toe-to-toe with Man City and you're losing. Now that Unai's doing that, people are going, oh, we can't do that against Leicester. It's lose-lose. That's what I meant, sorry, with the Wenger comment. So now that we are doing this, people are moaning. When we went toe-to-toe, we got beat. We got played off the park.
If we'd have gone toe-to-toe, Leicester sat there, we'd have been 2-3 down in the first half.
And people would have still moaned. So Unai can't win. Do you want him to play defensively or do you want him to go toe-to-toe? You can't go toe-to-toe, Chris, with a team who have no confidence.
Yeah.
Against a team that are buzzing as well.
Yeah.
And, Chris, let me ask this question as well, which I've just said to
Mike. Hey, we're not going up on him, Chris. Sherlock. He's the ringleader of this town.
I love Chris, mate. I just let birth him. Happy belated birthday on air, mate.
Oh, Chris, happy birthday. Elementary, my dear.
Shut up and tell me what your point is.
But what I'm going to say, I want to ask you exactly the same question now. Be totally honest with me. Arsenal sack Unai Emery tomorrow, start national break. It's 2 weeks to find a manager. You're Royal, you're Edu. Who are you bringing in?
Well, I think it's somebody. So here's the thing. You
talked
about.
No, exactly.
No, wait, hang about.
I've just asked
Chris,
a question.
Charlie's asked you a question, and I'm going to save you a little bit because I'm going to give you time to think about who would you choose for the manager. And let's see what Chris has to say when we come back.
Get thinking, mate.
Love Sport. You are listening to the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. What a fiery, passionate debate. Always a good show when Gunners Tan are in the studio. Charlie East and Chris Howard. Well, just before the break, obviously we were speaking about the Leicester game and talking about the manager. Charlie posed a question to Chris. I saved Chris ever so slightly. I gave him a couple of minutes. Charlie put Chris on the spot saying, if you could, if Unai was to go now, who would you want and why would you want them?
Well, I think the first obvious choice is Massimo Allegri. He's got... He's a guy who has set up from a structural and side, the Juventus side.
So let me.
He had success with
Okay,
let me finish.
I was going to say on that.
He's had success with AC Milan. He's had success with Juventus. The language barrier, perhaps that's an issue. However, Pochettino joined Southampton with language as an issue. He turned that team around. He then joined Tottenham. He started speaking English, broken English. But Pochettino was able to get across his ideas.
And they're not doing so
speaking
well,
of, well, hold on, he's done fairly well other
would
than this season. So, would I have Pochettino?
I would.
Do you know
I
what?
Would.
Do you know what?
I don't want him out. I'd have him all day long. That would go right up there.
He has the thing is, he has an identity. We know this type of style that he'd want to play, and that's what I'm looking for. You know, he's a better manager than Unai Emery. I have literally no idea what Unai Emery is doing. One week it is a back three. One week it is a back four. We don't press high. We don't sit deep. We don't counter. We've got pacey players. There are just so many things wrong with the composition of our side. I want somebody that will set up and say, this is the sort of approach that we're going to do. This is my approach. We're going to go for it. And then maybe, if the thing is, if Arsenal fans could see a certain type of style developing, then we'd probably be giving Unai Emery, even now, a little bit more time. But he's changing it. He's changing his story with regards to playing personnel, like the Ozil situation, the Xhaka stuff. He's not his communication is poor, and I don't think that's a language issue.
Well, let's throw the question straight to you, Charlie. Chris wasn't sure. Unai, I know you're still behind Unai, but obviously a little bit of that was lost on the weekend. Who would you want?
He just said Pochettino.
No,
that wasn't serious.
Well, if I was being honest, if he lost tomorrow, if we sacked Unai tomorrow,
yeah.
I know exactly what I'd want him, and I think it's a bit of a mad one.
Go on.
I would go and speak to Rafa Benitez in China, and I'd get him back.
Do you know what? I think
he's a manager who manages at higher level of football. He's won things. He knows the Premier League. I think
his English is good.
I'm telling you now, Rafa Benitez is a good manager. It was at Newcastle in me. This face you're pulling at me, Charlie.
I tell you what, I'm with Charlie on this one.
I've thought about it, and I think if it was a real, I don't think it.
Rafael Benitez at Arsenal. He's managed Chelsea. He's managed Liverpool. He's managed Newcastle.
Yeah, but who cares?
Yes,
who cares?
All right,
who's
let's
managed
take that away.
Previously.
I care as an Arsenal fan. I don't want. Poch to come in. I don't want Benitez to come in. I don't want Mourinho to come in. I don't want anyone that's managed clubs that we despise. That's just maybe me. I'm a very stubborn, petty Arsenal fan. Talking of Rafa, he knows his style. He knows the league. He knows European football. He's boring. It's a boring style of football. He's the draw specialist at Newcastle. Yes, he's working with that
Newcastle's
team
different.
And that squad. All right, well, what did you see when he was in charge of Chelsea that saw them going forward?
Plus one trophies, man.
Europa
couldn't
league?
Win the league for Liverpool.
What's that?
Yeah, but the Premier League.
Yeah, but
Liverpool.
The football wasn't dire.
That Liverpool side wasn't the
title winning team.
Well,
now we're getting into excuse because you're saying it's the Newcastle team. What did he do with Chelsea?
You're an Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
Who you have? If you got sacked tomorrow.
I wouldn't. I'd have Unai till the end of the season because there is no...
No, you really?
Said,
No, you just...
Yeah, I would have Unai till the end of the season.
I said that.
All right, okay. And then you backed down on this weekend.
No,
if he was sacked and we could get anyone, who would I have?
See, I like Allegri. I do. But there's two things that worry of Allegri. I wanted Allegri before we got Unai. Okay? He can't speak a word of English. Okay?
I think that's solvable, though.
I just think halfway through a season, we're in a bit of a situation where that's not a good thing. Wait till the end of the season. Have him ready to go in. No one knows to know about this. Speak to him. Let him know he's coming. 1st of June, mate, you're in. Give him time to learn English. Give him time to watch the Premier League.
Well, this is maybe what they're doing with Luis Enrique.
Well, okay, so that gives him time to do that, okay? And that wouldn't be a bad idea. I don't agree with either putting Lundberg in, because not only is it struggling for the team because he's never managed a game, so to speak, but you could also ruin his career, because he's in a path at the minute where he's quite high respected at the youth level. He comes as assistant manager, he's happy at Arsenal, be involved in the club again. Also, he put him as a manager, and 6 months he fouls. See how that, mate, back to wherever you go. It's a big risk for him too. Would he want to take it? Probably, because of the kudos, and he'd probably believe in himself. But deep down, that could ruin his whole thing. I've seen names like Steven Gerrard pop up. Excuse me? I love Steven Gerrard. I really like Rangers. He did a great job there. Do I want him as Arsenal manager? Probably not.
Really,
Brendan Rodgers has popped up. Me, personally, I've been dead against Brendan Rodgers. But seeing what he has done at Leicester, he's done really well. And I don't doubt for 1 minute if Arsenal come in from
him. When we say what he's done at Leicester, we're talking about such a small sample size. They're in a great run at the minute, great form, great momentum. Sure, he's a great manager, achieved a lot at Celtic, and he's done well. But this is surely too quick to say he's doing brilliant at Leicester. We don't know where they're going to end up years to come. Can we say that yet?
That's another thing. And we're talking about Arsenal Football Club. We're not talking about Burnley or something like that. We're talking about Arsenal Football Club. So we can't just do a knee-jerk reaction. Because there's so much...
How bad does it have to get before we do have to do a knee-jerk reaction?
Right, I think as long...
Do you think if he loses the Southampton game or if draws the Southampton game...
No, because...
Do you think if he loses or draws the Norwich game?
No, because I'm telling you now, he's the most successful manager in the world at the moment in that Europa League competition. Okay, and that is a massive, massive opportunity for us as a gateway to get back where we need to go. Okay,
twice, and we missed it. We lost in the semi-final. We lost in the final.
I know. The first year was different because it was Arsene Wenger. Last year, we lost. No, 2 years ago it was Arsene Wenger
in the Atletico Madrid
semi-final, and we've been very unlucky. Atletico dropped out of that tournament that year. They dropped out of the Champions League and they went on to win it. Could we have beat Marseille in the final?
But that could happen this year.
No, I know it could. But I've gone through the groups. I've gone through the groups, and it. Other than that group, it looks like Inter or Dortmund could drop in. It's not like that. Man United would be the team we'd have to worry about. As much as everyone laughs at United, over two legs, they're still a team I'm going to worry about against United. But I was saying, Unai Emery at the moment, I know he lost in the final against Chelsea last year, but last year we went Napoli, no one gave us a chance, turn them over. Valencia, we absolutely smashed
him. It was a great run.
He knows how to win them two-legged games in Europe. And
but with a team
that's
on their knees, like we weren't on our knees confidence-wise last season. I look at these players and they don't look like they can string together a win. So
I think we need to sign a couple of players in January. The board have to. And people are going to say, well, we got back to summer. You look at our squad. You know,
are we going
to
sign players when we don't even know who's going to be in charge? I've already spent a lot of money.
The manager doesn't sign players though, Charlie. We know that.
But January transfer windows are always an awkward window to sign players.
I just think, I can always judge about how good our squad is. And this is going to be really stupid. It's FIFA, right? I'll pick my team I want to play.
As in the football game?
Yes. When I go on the FIFA, I look at my bench and I'm trying to play and I think, oh, crap, I've got Willock to bring on. I've got Saka on my bench. I'm thinking, hang on a second. When I play with Juventus or Real Madrid or Barcelona, I'm bringing off Dembele after. But I've got big people. We haven't got that. Our squad is very. They've been very praised bringing through the kids, and he should be praised for that. But I think he's killing him a bit now as well. Saka's playing too much.
It's such a big debate in the studio. Where do you stand on it? Who do you want in, more importantly? We're throwing names around the studio. I want to hear from you. Tweet us at Lovesport Radio. Call us 0208 7020 558. Lovesport. You are listening to the Arsenal Fan Show on Lovesport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joining the studio with Gunners Tan, Chris Howell and Charlie East. What a good show so far, talking all about the manager, the team, the players, the attitude. How big a part has social media played? Well, we wanted you to call in. We want to hear your views. Do you agree with us? Do you disagree? More, obviously, are welcome. We've had a call into the studio, this time from Dan. Dan, thank you for calling into the show tonight. And I know you want to talk a little bit about the club values and how it needs to go back to its roots and traditions.
Yeah, cheers for having us, chaps. It's I just feel like the club's values have been lost. The Arsenal Fan TV, I don't want to single them out, you know.
Please do.
they do their thing, right? And I don't think Arsenal Fan TV are the only ones. You know, that's kind of the way that the modern game's going. Little things that the club seem to have been lost with, and I know they sound fatuous, but you know, traditions of Herbert Chapman giving the responsibility of the captain to wear short-sleeved shirts. Those sorts of things. The whole Granit Xhaka situation. You can break that down and look at Xhaka and be critical of him. And, yeah, all right, booing players isn't particularly the right way to go. But the whole dealing of the situation after it happened was just, it didn't sit right, and it didn't represent what this football club is about. This football club, as far as I know, in the years that I've been watching them and brought up supporting them, doing things the right way, the Arsenal, you know, just doing things in a professional way. And I think if you install that at the very top of the club, then that'll fall down and fall into place, hopefully, on the pitch. Jurgen Klopp recently mentioned, I think if I get it right, about the pyramid between the supporters, the manager and the player. That's an environment that he's built single-handedly, but has bought into the club values. Now, I understand as well that Emery's English isn't the best. Listen, I can't even spell Spain, let alone speak Spanish. So, you know, I'm certainly not going to finger-point him on his English, but just core values of the club just seem to be completely missing. And one thing I will say is that talk of replacing the manager and the man who seems to be widely disliked at a football club like Arsenal, well, we don't really seem to be going down the sort of traditions of doing things the Arsenal way. So, all right, why not just throw all your morals out the window and get someone in who does know what they're doing, who does know how it feels and how it means to build a big football club, and ultimately stop us conceding goals.
Dan, So, how you doing, mate? Thanks for the call, mate. You mentioned about traditions and values, and I totally agree with you. I know you get, and I mean, we've been going Arsenal long enough to know we've seen Arsenal through the good times, as obviously we're a bit younger than most, but we have seen the Invincible team, and we know we had captains like Tony Adams, Patrick Vieira, these sort of people that were legends of the club, right? Mm. And I know you're saying about. So the question I'm asking you is really, do you honestly think, I know things have changed over the years, do you honestly deep down in your heart think that sacking a manager come before Christmas as Arsenal Football Club would be acceptable?
No, I don't, and it doesn't sit right with me. And as you've touched on there, Charles, we're of a generation of, you know...
We've been spoiled, unfortunately. That is the problem.
I can't help that, and I was brought up, and I had no other choice, and I'm glad that I did have no other choice. I can't help that. But what I have been brought up on is looking at my football club and looking at the way they do things and doing them in a proper manner. Now, to answer your question, sacking a manager 18 months into his reign, well, it certainly doesn't sit right with me. I caught the very tail end of George Graham, a little bit of in between with Stuart Houston and Bruce Rioch. And then the big man came in, and I know no different for the best part of my years watching Arsenal. So, no, it doesn't sit right. But I do think right now where we're sitting and where we want to be and how we perceive ourselves as one of Europe's elite, let alone the country's elite, we've got to do something to ensure that that is maintained as quickly as possible. Now, having to win, I think I've worked it out, and I'm not really good at maths, but having to win somewhere near around 18 of our remaining 24 Premier League games, the way we look at the minute, and football can change very quickly, it seems a big ask. If you're asking me who I think should replace him, if that is to happen, don't know. I'm not paid the big money, but my gut instinct is at the minute that if this club doesn't make it into the Champions League, which personally I think Unai Emery's terms and conditions were, I don't think anything else at the top of the list would have been, okay, a trophy would have been lovely, and had we got into the Champions League via the Europa League, excellent, win-win. But make no mistake about it, his primary goal was to get this team back into the Champions League.
And he's got two ways of doing that.
There's two ways of doing it.
And as you said, and as the Europa League, I personally, genuinely at the moment, on paper, record, stats, there is not a better person in Europe at the moment, generally on stats, who can lead us to that. He's won it three times.
Yeah, you're 100% right. But are we willing? And I remember the last time I ran the show, it might have been the quarterfinal stage last year.
Yep.
And I think that I'm certainly no expert, but I said the last team I'd want to play is Chelsea in the final. But anyway, what happened? Anyway, putting all our eggs in that Europa League basket, if that is the way now, if we're admitting defeat before we've opened the first window on our advent calendars for Christmas, that we're not going to make the top four, we put all our eggs in the Europa League basket, and that goes Pete Tong, well, we're back where we were sort of last season. So the Premier League is and has always been the meat and gravy of any top-flight club, and I think we should be prioritising that, and however we see best fit to get it right on the pitch.
Well, we can anyway till February for that, because we're already through. So you'd like to think that. So hopefully, rest up the players midweek and just play your strongest team on the Premier League, and hopefully with this little run of fixtures we've got now, we get back on winning ways.
But ultimately, I think this is where the problem lies as well. I think we know our best team. I know none of us have managed a Premier League game. I certainly haven't. But I think I know our best team. And, you know, at the on current form, why not give it a punt? You know, most of the players are available. But I don't even think Unai knows his best team. And I think 18 months into the... Ultimately, as well, I don't know what we're trying to achieve. I don't know what it is. And even though the last sort of 2 years, perhaps a little bit more, you could argue that Arsene Wenger's style of football was sort of well sussed out. But you knew what we wanted to do. And when it went well, it was fantastic to watch. People call it Wenger ball, call it what you want. When it didn't go well, well, we all know what happens. But I don't know what we're trying to do. The only thing I can hold on to is playing out from the back, which quite clearly, no matter what formation, tactic, way they set up, doesn't appear to be working. And I think we need to start finding ourselves.
Yeah, it doesn't appear to be working. Dan, we really appreciate you calling into the studio tonight.
Cheers, Dan.
Thank you for that. Dan saying there, he feels like he knows Arsenal's best 11. Unai doesn't. I'm not so sure, because when I see the players and we're worrying, Guendouzi, Torreira hasn't looked good, Xhaka having these problems, I'm not sure now. I don't know if this is the way we're playing or the form we're in. If I know our best 11, Chris, do you?
Can I have a go?
Yeah, go for it.
Leno in goal, Bellerin at right back.
Do we agree so far? I think,
what formation are you playing?
I think a 4-2-3-1.
Yep, okay, we'll keep that.
thank you.
You're allowed, Chris.
I'll carry on then, shall I? I would go Tierney at left back.
Yep.
I would play Luiz in the centre.
Yes.
And I think I would actually go Chambers, a bit of a left of a fielder. Because I think Chambers is in form at the moment over Sogradis and Holding. I would have Torreira sitting.
Yep.
I'd probably play Xhaka, because I think he'd work alongside him.
Exactly the same way Xhaka and
But we've got no chance there. But that's what I think our best team would be. I would play Ozil in front of the two of them.
Yep.
I would have Lacazette up top. I'd have Aubameyang out left, and I'd have Pepe out right.
That's exactly my bar, Socrates and Chambers. Oh, is that the same as my dad?
That is our best team, in my opinion. And then you've got injuries, so you can give or take. You can change a few players in. You can mix it up.
Bring them in. So on. No, I agree with that. And I think...
Have we seen that team
No, he hasn't had it available to him once. He hasn't physically had that team available to him once. He generally hasn't. Whether Xhaka has been out now, he hasn't.
I think bar Bellerin and Tierney, he's had the rest of that team available, and he's ostracised Ozil. The Xhaka situation. He's actually slightly ostracised Torreira as well.
Let's talk about the Xhaka situation. You're saying you both put him in your best 11. Is he coming back?
Well, I don't think he'll play again.
Never again for the club.
I think January you'll see him gone 18
million. Yep.
Chris, you don't think he'll put on the Arsenal shirt again?
He won't play again. Emery didn't make any guarantees last weekend, did he? And I think that's just Emery's way of not answering the question, but we all know the answer to the question. He's not playing.
Well, and the international break, I have to ask Charlie, it's coming at a good time now for us.
It's coming at a good time for us. Oh, I hate the national break. Mm. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I'm so glad it's here. It's a good way for us now. We've got a lot of players.
It's only a good way if we use it, though.
You've got to think of it now. You look, Leno's gone in the squad. You've got people like Bellerin now. Got another 2 weeks of fitness to get in. Okay, holding another 2 weeks of fitness to get in. Tierney's not gone international. 2 weeks getting him in back again. David Luiz, does he still play for Brazil? He does. Okay, so David Luiz is obviously
Torreira
gone.
Torreira will go.
Socrates is gone. And that is a problem for Torreira?
Air Miles.
That is a problem for him, right? And I mean this. The amount of times that Torreira, you think, yes, he's going to come back. He comes back jet-lagged, arrives home on a Friday afternoon, and we're playing on a Saturday. He doesn't start. And then he won't start the week after. And that is a problem for him. He's going over to Uruguay all the time. It's killing him in his progress. Because we play over in Europe, we play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday now. The other countries don't. They still play Saturday, Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Still. I mean, they're in South America. So that is a problem for him. But I thought Aubameyang would give up playing for Gabon, but he seemed to be playing back for them again now, don't he?
It's hard to ask a player to give up playing for their country. Well, it wasn't a positive result for Arsenal on the weekend, but it was always positive when I get to see Charlie and Chris and the Gunners Town in the studio and what is the Arsenal Fan Show. And as always, you can be involved. We want you to be involved. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558 every Monday 7 to 8. It is the Arsenal Fan Show and it is Gunners Town.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.